The devil, darkness, and death may swagger and boast. The pangs of life will sting for a while longer. But don't worry, the forces of evil are breathing their last. Not to worry, he's risen. We've read this morning from Matthew 28, where we see the women going to Jesus' tomb, and an angel addresses them and says, "He is not here, he has risen, just as he said." And it's that phrase, "just as he said." Jesus is the most faithful and trustworthy person you'll ever come across. What he says, he means. And Jesus predicted his death several times. He knew what was going to happen. And for me, that is the thing that really kind of gets me in the head. Each of us know when we're worried about something, we can see something going to happen. Maybe it's an exam, or whether we're going to get paid, and there's that nagging worry in the back of your mind. And he knew. He set his face. He knew what was going to happen. For me, I just imagine the mental torture of that. Imagine what that would be like. It reminds me of anybody watched Casualty? I used to watch it years ago, and they do this thing where they do little snapshots of a story, and you can see something's building slowly. Someone's going to lose an arm or have a car crash, and you can see it coming, and you kind of like don't want to look. And I'm not trivializing what Jesus would have gone through, but actually that's a small thing. Imagine knowing that you're going to die, and on a cross. And the weight of that knowledge and that decision comes to a climax in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke 22 says, this is Jesus speaking, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. Listen to this. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Such was the torment, what was going on inside. "He is not here, he's risen, just as he said." Jesus did as he said. Jesus still does what he says. Jesus is still who he says he is. He doesn't change. He is trustworthy and faithful. I will never let you down. He died for you, for you, for you, for all of us. What he says is true. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." John 6, "All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away." John 8, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life." Matthew 6, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." John 15, "I will send you the advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me." John 14, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. And trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am." He is not here. He's not on that cross. He's risen, just as he said. He's not physically with us, but one day there's going to be a massive cosmic reunion between Christ and his bride, that's us, the church. And you may have noticed this morning, this is what we do, breaking bread and breaking the bread and drinking wine together in remembrance of him. But we've laid it out a bit like a banquet this morning, like a wedding supper, like the top tier table at the wedding. I married a North American. Ooh, no response there. Now, in North America, they do this thing called a rehearsal dinner. It's a big thing. It's part of what they do. When you get married, you find out these things. So the night before, they run through what they're going to do in the service. Everyone gets together, has a little practice. But then there's this nosh up, this feast. So you get to know people. Perhaps there's relatives you haven't seen for years. Maybe people you've never met before. So it's a sense of expectation for the next day, building excitement. So just hold on to that rehearsal dinner idea. What does Jesus say about the table? Luke 22 says, this is Luke's account. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. So when will the same supper be shared with Jesus? And what would it look like? Let's go further in our Bibles to Revelation. This is John's vision from Revelation 19. It says, then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roaring of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Then the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. The marriage supper of the Lamb is a glorious celebration of all who are in Christ. So what we start now is a bit like that rehearsal dinner. Sharing the Lord's table is great, but there's something better waiting for us. Because of Jesus' ministry, death, resurrection, the gift of the Spirit, the kingdom of God and its benefits are available to us now. We don't enjoy it in all its fullness because there's plenty to come. That picture in Revelation of the church coming back together with Jesus. The wedding supper of the Lamb may not be tomorrow. Well, I suppose it could be tomorrow, according to the Bible. Like that rehearsal dinner. But there is something of eternity here that we partake in now. Just take a breath of that. Partaking in something that will then echo in eternity. Sounds like a film, doesn't it? And it's all because of today. The reason this is here, the reason we will be reunited with Jesus is because of today, the resurrection day. The children are coming back in just a second, and we're going to finish with a couple of songs of celebration. This is what Tom Wright says about the resurrection. The resurrection completes the inauguration of God's kingdom. It is the decisive event demonstrating that God's kingdom really has been launched on earth as it is in heaven. The message of each Easter is that God's new world has been unveiled in Jesus Christ, and you're now invited to belong to it. We celebrate the hope in Jesus' resurrection, that he did conquer death, sin, sickness, disease, and hell to give us freedom, a relationship with the Father, an eternal life for all those who believe in him and call on his name. And Jesus will come again. Amen. The Pope, in his address to Catholics this weekend, encouraged them to not have a museum faith. I thought, oh, what's that? And there's a sense that we can come in and go, oh, this is a nice building. Oh, that's nice flowers. That's a good service. might dip into Connect Group, but actually this faith in Jesus is a living, active thing that you choose to throw yourself into, not to look at. Don't let, that's the challenge to all of us. Let's not be spectators in it, but actually make it a living, real faith. And perhaps you've never really done that before. Perhaps you've just gone, yeah, God's good. I like to come along. I like to connect. There's some nice people at the church, South Kensington Mission. Yeah, that's nice. But actually, there's something more. There's something bigger and deeper. Lord, I want to pray for anybody here that feels like they've got that faith that just looks in and maybe is kind of there but not there. They've never really decided to go, actually, Jesus, you're worth looking into. You're worth following. You're worth changing for. You're worth laying stuff down for. Holy Spirit, would you come and challenge our hearts? Would you help us understand afresh what it meant on that day when you died? But Lord, what it means for us right now. Like those people that were baptized here a few weeks back, that actually we share in your death and resurrection. We say goodbye to sin, death, and hell, and we look to you, knowing that we carry resurrection life inside of us. Help us to understand afresh what that means and to step into all of your kingdom that is coming but not yet. And Lord, as we finish today, may something of new joy rise up in our hearts as we celebrate that life change, that history changing date when you rose again. You died once for all. No other sacrifice is needed. You've done it, Lord. It's finished. And we give you glory. We give you praise. We give you love and our hearts to you, Lord Jesus. We give our thoughts. We give ourselves again to you and say, you are the best thing in the whole universe. That's what it means. You are wonderful. You are the highest. You are the greatest. There is no one like you. You are worthy. No other king is like you. No other Lord reaches you. No one gets as high as you. Your love is so wide we can't get round. Your love is so deep we can't get under it. You are amazing God. And we thank you, Lord. And we celebrate that all the riches you have, Christ, we have also. What a God. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. And we love you, Lord. And we give you praise. Amen.